And I just want to share what the Lord this morning has been speaking to me over the last couple of weeks. You know, it's never a coincidence when God can even speak through a daily devotion right to the Word that God's been giving you and throughout the last couple of weeks. And then even with, you know, we had a guest speaker last week. Awesome, right? I mean, nail it to the cross. Some people got some freedom, I believe, in here that nailed some stuff to the cross. One of the things that really stood out to me about Robert's message was, you know, that we're often, we want to take it back. You know, when he those things he nailed to the cross, and then we want to take it back, right? A lot of times, like, whoa, well, you know, I kind of want that still. What does that? It's the sinful nature, right? It's our sinful nature. And Paul even talked about that. We won't go there too much because I got a lot. And we may have to be 2 weeks into this. I don't know, but... And hopefully, you know, I told Kidden this morning, Melissa, you know, God, Penny preached on sin the week before, and we've been talking over the last month or two of, you know, about we had fasting and prayer and all the things taken. And this is what the Lord's been sharing with me over the last couple of weeks, and I believe it's a word because I got a word from a young man Tuesday night that confirmed it. That I was supposed to minister on this, and it's on maturing through obedience. Maturing through obedience is what I, you know, named this. It could have several names, but I'm going to be in 1 Peter 4, 1 there. If you want to turn in your Bible there, we're going to have it up here too. But I really want to encourage everybody to, you know, even if you use your phones, if you do, that's fine, but... I think the church in a lot of ways has made it too easy for the Christian. Where we got it, you know, you go ever been in some of the big churches, it's on the wall and you got that. And that's all right. But the fact is, this word won't become alive to you unless you get in it yourself.
Yes.
Okay? And this is so important. You need, it's like the old saying, you know, you see the guys with the holes in their blue jeans because they've been on their knees praying. You know, that's the same way with the Word of God. You know, it don't matter if it's all looks bad and you got duct tape on it, right? You know, you might be embarrassed by it. I don't know, but I ain't. I tell you what, this Bible, I feel lost. It's like it says it's the gospel, the part of the armor of God and one of the most important weapons, right, David? It's one of those things that it's called our sword. Can you imagine going to a battle without a weapon?
Come on.
What are you gonna do? You're gonna be defeated, right? Oh, somebody's gonna whoop your butt.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say that in church?
Yes.
Somebody's gonna whoop you. And guess who's wanting to whoop you?
The enemy.
The world around us. The enemy. The prince of this world around us. So, you know, I encourage you, you know, don't get into the routine like everybody else. This, you know, and the reason that I want to encourage you that is in CR we have steps. We do it over and over and over again. Sometimes it takes that, especially for stubborn people, I guess, like me. But, you know, I'm praying God's going to just help make this not only alive to you and that it's real, but part of a lifestyle, okay? And one of the things, again, what God's told me over the last month or two is not just a fast for a month or a start of the year like we do here at the church, but a lifestyle. And one of the things about maturing, and since Trigger there's helping me preach this morning, what is it a child has to learn? What does a child have to learn as it grows up? Right and wrong. Okay? Very good. Which, in another term, is what? Learning how to be obedient or disobedient. And the difference. Now, in my BC days, I call it, I was a pretty bad rebel. Let's just say that. And that wasn't just flying the rebel flag. Okay? It was being a rebel. And the rebel yell of just being my way is all about me and everything else. So we've got to understand when we come to Christ, there's a whole nother lifestyle. So this morning, we're going to start off in 1 Peter 4:1. If you've got you, everybody there, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Some's looking on the board. That's fine. I've got it on paper, but I want to go with my word, too. Because I got a couple translations here. 1 Peter 4:1 says... Here we go. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, somebody read this with me. Arm yourself also with the same mind. Arm yourself with that same mind. Now hold on to that thought. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Cease from friend. What does cease mean? Somebody?
Stop.
Okay. Stop sinning, right? He who has suffered in the flesh. Now, has anybody been suffering through some things in here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hands pretty much all a lot of people. First, that point is a person who has ceased from sin is a perfect, obedient child of God. A perfect, obedient child of God is someone who has suffered through some things. And you're going to suffer through some things like Jesus did as a Christian. The key point is you're going through it, though.
Yes.
You're going through it. You're not just staying in it.
Yes.
And we mature through our suffering sometimes. You know, God wants us to picture Christ in all the suffering and things He had. Now listen, another translation says, in the CEV says this, Christ suffered here on earth. Now you must be ready. You must be ready to suffer as He did. Because suffering shows that you have stopped sinning. It means you have turned from your own desires and want to obey God for the rest of your life. You want to obey God for the rest of your life. I love that translation. It means, yes, we're going to go through some stuff. We're going to suffer through some stuff. Life is hard. There's situations that all of us are going through that are painful. There's things that happens in our life. But what we've got to do is just keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. And even though we're suffering through some things, there might be a loss of a loved one. There might be some things in our life that are just so painful you just want to give up. But God's here to tell you today, if you suffer through these things, He's going to bring blessings on your life. Now that's where I'm going to go in the end of this thing of how you can be blessed. How many want to be blessed by God?
Amen.
How many want to be blessed by God? Okay. Now, there's a story here, and I want you to turn over to 1 Samuel 15. And we're going to talk about God's chosen man in this day and time, even before David. I mean, everybody knows, remembers David being the king of Israel, but there's another one that was chosen before David. Anybody know who he is? His name was Saul. Saul was chosen before David. And we're going to talk about old Saul a little bit first. Everybody okay? 1 Samuel, turn over to 15. In 15. This over here a little closer. Now let me bring you up to snuff a little bit about old Saul. And we got to really go back to the children of Israel. Who's the children of Israel? Denver, who's the children of Israel?
It's the Jews and the Christians.
Amen. All right. They're God's chosen people, and they're the Jewish people that God brought out of bondage from Egypt, right? Everybody knows the story. The main stories of the parting of the Red Sea, right, and all those highlighted stories and things, but they went through a lot, but they were God's chosen people. Now, even though God brought them out of the bondage of Egypt, and after hundreds of years, all the years they were there, He led them into the wilderness, through the desert, and by pillar of fire at night, and all this stuff. Fed them by manna falling from heaven, and all these things that you've probably heard. The children of Israel decided it wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. It wasn't enough. Yeah. And so what did they do? They took their eyes off of God. The fire, the pillar of fire was like a God leading them, okay, through the Spirit. And that was like a metaphor. But yet, they took their eyes off of God and they started crying, "Give us a king. Give us a king." They wanted a king. And so, God in all His love says, okay, they don't want me to lead them. We'll give them a king. And so, He appointed a king. And this king ends up being Saul. Saul was, it says that Saul was a, he went, the story was that he went to his dad, sent him over to the, forget the name of the village, but to look for a donkey, all right, for some donkeys. And, you know, this made me, when I started thinking about the story, is that we're, with God, we think that we're going through life and everything's okay. And then God might just say, okay, it's time. I want this person. I want this. I'm choosing this person. And He chose Saul. And say, I want Saul. And He used the prophet Samuel, right? And He says, this is the guy. You'll know him. And so here's Saul. It says that Saul was a beautiful guy, really. He was a big, strapping young man. It said he had broad shoulders and handsome and all these things. So, when I started reading this again, God began to speak to me. Saul didn't want no part of being chosen. He wanted to go back to where he was before. But Samuel told him, he says, you're going to come, and on the road, these prophets come by, and all of a sudden, God's Spirit fell on Saul, and he began to prophesy. He prophesied, and he went into the village, and all the people were saying, whoa, isn't this Saul, you know, this person? And all of a sudden, now he's prophesying. It's kind of like He does with us. He chooses us. We don't feel like we're worthy. We don't feel like, you know, that, well, I can't preach. I can't do this. But God, if He has chosen you, He anoints you. He anoints you to do what He calls you to do. And so He told Saul. Now, and over here it goes on, and he began to prophesy, and then in openly, God lays His mantle on Saul, and he becomes the king. And if we look here, that's over in 14. But Saul, after how many years was it? Okay, here we go. I need to come back here, I guess. In 15:10 it says, the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I regret that I made Saul king. Now think about this. He made Saul king, but what happens is in 14, and Saul become, let's see. No, in 13 it says, Saul was 40 years old when he began to reign. So he reigned for 32 years over Israel. He began his king's reign 32 years. And after 32 years, the Lord spoke to him to do something. And it says here, look at 13. All Israel heard the news that Saul was smitten. In 11. But Samuel said, what have you done, Saul? Right before this, he says, Saul brings to me a burnt offering and peace offering, and he offered the burnt offering, and it came about as soon as he finished offering the burnt offering, that behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him and to greet him. Now this is right after the Lord had told Saul to go and kill all the Amalekites. He said, kill them all. They were evil people. And God told him, he said, kill them all. He sent the prophet and he said, kill them all. Don't leave anyone alive. Even their animals, right? Even their the children even. That's a hard thing. But there's a reason God has things in our life in the way he told. So what does Saul do? And the first thing Saul does is he made a reason in his own mind that, well, he didn't do what God said. That was his first mistake. He chose to take the things he wanted, like some of the animals, some of the good animals for himself. And he took the king even, and he took the king back with him, and all these things. And he reasoned in his mind that it was okay. Do we do that sometimes when God tells us things? Yeah. And we start reasoning in our mind that things is okay. So see, right here, even after God called him and told him to do these things, he started reasoning with doing this. So Saul assumed that after he did this, the next thing he does is he didn't wait on the Lord. The Lord told him to do something else, and he disobeyed again. And this time Saul says to or Samuel says to Saul, what is this thing you've done? The Lord had told him to do this, and he disobeyed him again. And through his disobedience. Now in 15 we go on over, and it says Samuel rebuked Saul here in 10. He says, then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands. And Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord all night. You see, before that, he reasoned in his mind and he says, I've done something good. I've done this, and I've built up our flock, and you know, and now I have control over the king. I've brought him back, and all these things. How many know that we can do that in our life? We can start reasoning things are right when God tells us to do a certain thing, and then what happens? We fall in disobedience, and it doesn't mean that even God said something in our life. What do we do when we become disobedient to God? What happens when sin enters into our life?
We drift away.
That's right. Sin enters in. God can't be in our life. He wants to help us. He wanted to lead the children of Israel just like he wanted to lead Saul. He told Saul what to do. There's a reason for everything God tells us to do. But see, what happens with us is we fall in disobedience to God and start reasoning in our own mind and things. And the Lord, there's this joke I put down here. It talks about this guy. And I don't know what I did with it. Penny, that piece of paper, did you see it? Is it over there, the one I had? But it's about this guy. He's walking along the railroad track. And I don't know. He might, you know, been drunk. He might have lost his license. I don't know. But he's walking along the railroad track, and he gets his foot stuck in the railroad track. And just as he's trying to get it out, so as he's doing that, all of a sudden he starts hearing a noise. He starts hearing something coming down the track. And so what does he do? He's trying harder to get his foot out, and there it is, a train coming right at him. So what's the first thing you think he does? He starts praying, right? He starts praying, oh God, Lord, I quit drinking. Help me get my foot out. Help me. And it's getting closer and nothing happens. Nothing happens. And so he's praying even more. He's praying, oh Lord, help me. Help me get my foot out of the track. I promise, Lord, I'll quit drinking. I'll quit cussing. I'll quit smoking. And all of a sudden when he did, it just freed up and he jumped out of the way of the train, and the train whoo, goes by. Here he is on the ground. He's laying there and he gets up and dusts himself off. You know what he says? Well, thanks anyway, God. I got this. That's the way we do in our life. That's the way we do in our life sometimes. We think we got this. We can do this on our own. And it's the same way what happened with Samuel here. You see, he got comfortable in his position there as king. And he got comfortable thinking he could just go on without God and the prophet of God speaking over his life. You see, God spoke through the prophet back in the old days. You know, he spoke through Samuel. And then when it come time, he went on ahead of God. Some of us sometimes go on ahead of God. And we're thinking, well, you know, just because God hadn't spoke at that very time, we just go on with God and say, well, I think I can just do this. And so we start reasoning. And we start saying, you know, I got this. But God wants you to know today, there's a difference between being obedient and disobedience and the sacrifice. You see that one story there that I skipped there, and I didn't want to go too deep into reading it all, but there was about a sacrifice. There, that offering, they had sacrificial offerings and things, and God had told them about how to do the sacrifice. Well, Saul did it, went ahead and did it on his own.
Kings were not allowed
to do the sacrifice. It was all about letting the priests do the sacrifice. You see what I'm saying? And so Saul, he got tired of waiting on the Lord.
Yep.
He got tired of waiting on the Lord. And he just said, well, I'll just go ahead and do this on my own.
Yes.
And so he took and said, all right. And then he did the sacrifice. Now listen to what happened. So Samuel, and I read that about, he says, I regret. God says, I regret. I made him, put him in this place. And he said, and Samuel rose up early in the morning to meet Saul, and it came to told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself. Look at that. Then turned and proceeded down to Gilgal. See, he set up a monument to himself there in 15:12, and it says, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. Notice this. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. Why do you think he said that? Oh, he's trying to get back on good graces, isn't he? He's trying to get back on good graces there because he knew he had done wrong. Every one of us know when we're starting into sin. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit giving you, don't do that. That's not right, okay? So Saul knows he's disobedient. And it didn't even say that he set up a monument to God. He set a monument up to himself.
That's right.
Himself. So he's decided, I got this. I've got this. Now it goes on and it says, He said, and Saul said, they've brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep. What is the next thing he do? He started blaming it on the people. The people have brought them the best of the sheep, he says.
But also at the end of 13, he goes, I have carried out the command of
yes,
the Lord.
Yes, I have carried out the command of the Lord. And see, in his mind, listen to me now, look at me. You can convince yourself that you're doing right.
Come on.
You can convince yourself that God said and that I'm doing right.
That's right.
It's reasoning in your mind that gets you in the most trouble of anything in your life.
Come on.
And if God doesn't say it, you better not do it. or you'll see, and I'll tell you what happens to Samuel. He makes a bad choice in all this that he does, and it goes on, and he said that Samuel, they've brought the Amalekites for the people, spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord. He even says, well, we're going to sacrifice them to God. It's okay, isn't it?
Come on, yes.
Did God say that? No, he didn't say that. He said, kill them all. And he goes on and he says to the Lord your God, but the rest we have utterly destroyed. He's still trying to convince the man of God who already knows he's been disobedient that it was okay. We killed all the rest of them. We just kept the best of them. We just kept these and we're going to sacrifice these to the Lord. Now he is lying to himself and trying to lie his way out of it.
Yep.
Oh, come on now. Y'all don't want to hear this. I'm telling you. The fact is, we try to lie our way out of things. You don't like to be called a liar, do you? But the truth is, a lie is a lie is a lie. And God says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. There is no in between. There is no gray area there. He says sin is sin. Disobedience is disobedience. And so he goes on and he hears old Saul again. You know, he says, then Samuel said to Saul, wait and let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. He'll send a prophet to speak in your life. These seats can empty up fast if God starts speaking. And he is speaking in this house because he loves you. It's not to beat you up. These words are to help you and I. This obedience thing is a key to success. It's the key to your walk with God. And learning how to mature in obedience is one of the key things that the church never gets a hold of. We got to grab a hold of this thing because there's consequences to our sin. That's what I'm going to keep preaching on. And then he says, wait and let me tell you what the Lord said. And he said to him, speak. And Samuel said, it's not true. He called him straight out, didn't he? It's not true. Though you were little in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel. In other words, you wasn't nothing. You was little even in your own eyes. You thought you wasn't worthy, but God saw worthiness in him. He said, this is the one I want. And he said, I'm going to make him king. And then he goes on and he says, and the Lord anointed you king over Israel, over all God's people. He chose him. And the Lord sent you on a mission. He said he sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated. Until they're all gone. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? But rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of God. You see, sometimes some of the things we think we're doing right is evil in the sight of God. Then Saul said to Samuel, I did obey. He's still convincing himself.
Uh-huh.
I did obey.
Yep.
I did obey. I did go to church. I did go to the outreach. I did do this. The voice of the Lord. And when on the mission on which the Lord sent me and have brought back Agai, the king of Amalekites, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Utterly destroyed them. I haven't destroyed them except for this.
Yeah.
Except for the king, except for this. And the people took some of the spoil. There he goes again.
The people.
The people. Does that sound familiar to the original sin in the garden?
Yeah.
What was it? Man said,
the woman
told me to eat of that tree. Oh my. And the choices of things, he said. I just took the choices of things just to sacrifice to the Lord your God, he said, at Gilgal. And Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice? Now here it comes. Here's the word I want to get to. As in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the rams. For rebellion as the sin of divination. What is divination?
Witchcraft.
It's witchcraft. Rebellion is witchcraft. When you rebel against God, you're in a place evil. That evil will enter into your life. If God speaks to you and you stay in your unrepented sin, you've opened up a door for, what does the old saying? Pandora's box. It's coming in. Evil is, it says it's right at the door. It's ready to pounce on you. And then it goes on, it says, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He has also rejected you from being king. You see, there's consequences.
Yes.
There's consequences. It don't matter if God has chosen you. You could be over the biggest ministry in the world, and you disobey God, and He tells you something, you're in rebellion.
That's right.
You have opened up the door for sin to enter into your life. Now this week, as God began to talk to me about obey, a young man didn't know anything about what God had been telling me, told me Tuesday night. He said, "Ronnie, I think the Lord told me there's a scripture." And this is the scripture he said to me. He said, it's in Samuel 15. He had no idea that I was going to minister on this. It's in Samuel 15, somewhere there. It says that to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice is the word I got for you today. You can't get caught up in your sacrificial giving, your sacrificial anything. He wants you to obey Him.
Yes.
Above everything in your life. You can never mature in God until you learn what obedience is. Our obedience is saying, "Yes, Lord. Okay. It doesn't mean that you feel like doing it. It doesn't mean that you can do it, or you even think you can. It's just saying, "Yes, Lord, okay, if you say it, then so be it. I'll do it. I'll do it." A person who chooses to turn from their sin begins to mature, choosing God's way and not their own. It's not my will be done, Lord, but Your will be done.
Yes.
You're not choosing your own way anymore. You see, your old way leads to death.
Yes.
Your old sinful nature will get you into so much trouble that you can't get out of it sometimes.
Yes.
Somebody needs to hear me. It'll get you put in prison. It'll get you put in a place in your life where it tears your family apart. It can tear you down and just destroy you. John 10:10 said, "The thief come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus in red lighting said, I come that you can have life and have it more abundantly." You see, God wants you to have abundant life. But our sin keeps separating us from it. He can't help us when we're disobedient, children of God. When we're in rebellion to Him. And just as Jesus learned, Jesus had to learn obedience. Just like you and I. He chose to follow the Father, and the Spirit led Him. Even into the wilderness. It led Him into the face of the enemy. He had to face the devil. And what did He do? The first thing, the devil comes at you and he'll use everything he knows to attack you. He'll use everything to attack you and try to tear you down. You know, I know this doesn't sound pleasant, but it's worth the hardship. It's worth the hardship in learning to grow in the knowledge and likeness of God. Why is it worth it? Because we got to suffer through some things in life, and that is it. We talk about it in CR. Your addiction isn't your problem. Life is your problem. When you learn how to deal with life in Christ, In that same victory, you learn how to deal with that addiction. You can put it under your feet and it can be stomped on, and the devil has no authority in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He has no power over you.
That's
when
right.
You're full of the Holy Spirit, you have all that you need. Jesus
yes.
told his disciples,
yes.
he said, greater things shall you see than that I go to the Father. I don't know about you, but I don't see those greater things right now in the world. It's because our world is a rebellious world. And we're so easy to fall into the pits of the same deception that Saul fell into. Because when we don't hear from God in certain situations, whether we're going through something, we're suffering through it, and we're like, where are you, Lord? I can't wait on you anymore. Like Saul, and he stepped out and did his own sacrificial offering, and he wasn't supposed to. Guess what? God said, I cut him off. I cut you off. That don't mean he don't still love you.
Mm-hmm.
And he still will forgive you. But you know what? Anybody know what happened to Saul? He not only got cut off as king. From that moment on, he went through hell. He had to go through, and he began in all that mind game he played with himself. God said, okay, I got another one. A little runny guy. You see, he had a plan all along. God, you can't take him by surprise. But when we separated ourselves from him, he says, that's all. Well, I love you, but I got to do this. I got another little runny guy on the backside of over there in the pasture. He's over there playing his flute and watching the sheep, and his brothers are out doing whatever, carousing. But I'm going to choose him. I'm going to make him the king. Hey, man, you don't want to miss your blessing from God. That's why I'm here today, to give you some hope. It ain't to tear you down that you're disobedient, children of God. But we got to learn what obedience brings us. Obedience brings us joy. And knowing that I get up this morning, how many know that, there's one of them days where you just suffered through some things, but you remembered, hey, I didn't even sin through this, Melissa. I didn't even cuss nobody out today, like the old guy on the train track, you know. I trusted in God. I trusted in God. And boy, there ain't nothing better than knowing that you're in right standing with God that way. So, as born-again believers, we place our faith in Christ and the finished work of Calvary. Now, the fact is, His grace is sufficient, but we got to remember the suffering with it. He had to suffer through some things, so we got to suffer through some things in our life. And we begin to understand that suffering through some things in our lives is part of life. And although we don't like it, we don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't let it control us, though. The things we don't, you know. That, man, I just like to sleep in this morning.
Mm-hmm.
How many thought about that this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Even though some of us might have come late, I was this morning. I'm like, you just got to get on up. You got to get on up for God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that is just God's challenging you. Will you obey Him, right, Kim? Will you come on to church whether you feel like it or not? He knows I ain't picking on. The fact is, God's saying, I'm challenging you. It's not a test in God, but yet, in a way, it is. God wants to say, okay, that's what I've been waiting on. That's what I've been waiting on, you to surrender that one thing.
Yes.
You know, you want, like the old guy on the railroad tracks, you really don't want to give me your drinking. You really don't want to quit smoking, and you don't want to quit cussing, and yet you still want to pick it back up and just handle this thing on your own. Okay, how's that going for you, what God's saying? Go ahead. Walk on down that train track.
That's right.
Walk on down that train track. See how that's working for you. So Psalms, here's the thing. God wants to bless us. Psalms 128 tells us, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. Who walk in obedience to Him. See, and a person who has chose to mature in the Lord through obedience begins to grow spiritually. And there's two, I want to talk quickly about, there's two types of growth. There's a physical growth. Like a baby growing up. We've got a physical body. We're physically growing up. It's functions of time, meaning it happens over a period of time. You know, that's a physical growth. And there's an intellectual growth. It's a function of learning. It's a function of learning. You start learning as a child, right? He starts learning what's right and wrong. Somebody said it earlier, right? It's right or wrong. You don't touch that, it's hot, right? You don't do that, you get spanked, right? We don't like that, though, do we? Us baby Christians, boys. Don't spank me now. You know, that's why the shepherd has to, he has the staff. It's got that hook on it. You ever wonder that? It ain't just so he could comfortably walk along. You know, that fits right in my hand. That ain't the reason. That thing with a shepherd was when the sheep got out and started getting out of there, he'd reach out there and grab it and yank it back. Get over here. That's what we need. As pastors, that's what we need in the church, not a feel-good gospel, guys and girls. We've got a bunch of feel-good gospel out there that the pastors are coming to a place where, well, we're worried about our numbers. We can't worry about it, but well, the offering's gone down. We got to preach something that's more just feel-good. Got to pep them up. Come on now, we got to pep them up a little bit. I'm here to tell you today that I'm never going to be that pastor for you. I'm going to be the pastor that tells you in love that sometimes I got to do this. You know, he might have to poke you a little bit and say, listen, God wants that. He wants you to walk in your blessing. You can't walk in the blessings of the Lord if sin's in your life. No. You can't do it. And John Bevere says this. He says, spiritual growth is neither a function of time or learning, but rather a function of obedience.
That's right.
It's a function of obedience. That's what spiritual growth is. And see, so many times we're walking in the flesh. We're walking in the intellectual like Saul.
Amen.
I got this. You know, hey, 32 years. I'm a big strapping guy. I can do this. He looked good on the outside like I do today with my tongue. But on the inside... On the inside, he was all about himself. He's all about himself in the quiet places where God was still there, but yet nobody saw him. He was in that quiet place saying, Lord, get my feet manicured, all these things. He's all about himself. And then when it come time to face the enemy, when it come time that God just sat back and said, okay, let's see how you handle this. Some of you need to hear me today. When you get to that place and you go, where are you, God? Where are you? I feel like I'm alone. God's still there. He's still there. He's just waiting to see you. Are you going to serve Him? Are you going to walk in that obedience still then? Just like when things were going good. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I fear no evil, because your rod and your staff is with me. It comforts me. That rod and staff is the same thing. Whack. There's a whack. We need to get a whack on the head, Melissa, right?
That's
pull
right.
them back.
That's right.
The shepherd of God needs to step up and say, that is the good shepherd. Oh, we had a girl this week, you know, and listen, we're not one of these ministries or a couple either that is called just to say, oh, bless your heart, you know, it's going to be all right. Now, we love you, and but I'm going to tell you the truth. And I actually got fired from a job because somebody asked me, what do you think? Don't ask me what you think if you don't want to hear my opinion. You know? And so anyway, it's like all this, and I said, now you probably don't want to hear this. And I shared. I said, now what you need is accountability, and you need a pastor. I said, it don't have to be me. Get somewhere in church. Get somewhere where the Word of God can penetrate that lie, that thing that's trying to destroy your life.
That's right.
We're not all about building numbers here. We're about building the kingdom of God, and everyone that goes and call is called. Every one of you are called. Everyone, who knows what God has for you? You don't even know right now. There's so much more. Joe. There's so much more God's going to do when you start walking in the obedience of God. Now listen to this. And it talked about heed. That word heed was in there. When we heed the Word of God, spoken by the Holy Spirit in times of conflict and suffering, we can actually start mature. Knowledge of Scripture alone is not the key to this growth.
Amen.
It's not just knowledge. There's a lot of very, way smarter than this old country boy that know, that can read and got all the kinds of knowledge and things. But I tell you, I'm here to declare to you today, if this Word has not become alive to you, you need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost in fire. There's something that needs to become alive out of this Word to where it becomes part of you. And that same, when you start reading it, jumps off the page at you. Like, whoa, I never saw that before. Then you know there's something going on in your maturing in God. But the fact is, we don't want to take this off the shelf. We got it laid up there, and every week, it's collecting dust. It's collecting dust in our life. Our number one thing that God wants to speak to us, we put it on the shelf. We stuff it under the seat, or it's in the drawer beside us. Listen to what. So obedience is the one thing. Knowledge of Scripture is not the key to growth. Obedience is. And faith and action. Faith and action. You've got to have actions behind this thing. It's not just come and, bless me, Lord, go back and go in your lifestyle. Put actions to it. That's what Paul, the writer, says. Now, listen to what John Maxwell said. Most Christians are educated way beyond their own level of obedience. I like that. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Most Christians are educated way beyond their own level of obedience. Oswald Chambers, and we read his daily devotion, says, "One step forward in obedience is worth years of studying about it." Sometimes you just step out in faith, and if God says it, you just do it. Sometimes you got to learn to stand still. That's why the sword is two-edged. It fights this way and that way. No matter what your battle you're in. A couple more minutes here. I knew we'd probably get going on this. By knowing this, we can understand one reason why there are people in the church. How many know people in the church been in that 20 years or so? They can quote you verses and heard thousands of sermons and all, but they're powerless. They're powerless in certain things. And listen to what Paul writes about these individuals. He said, "They're always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth," in 2 Timothy. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why do you think that is? Somebody, why do you think that is? They're always knowing.
No obedience or lack thereof.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not just a knowledge thing. It's not an. It's an action thing in that obedience. And I know you're starting to say something. Got 1 minute.
You can know lots of information without ever knowing the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the life, and the truth." So you can know a lot of stuff and never know Him.
That's right.
Somebody asked me last night and said, "Well, if I do this," they had a hurt leg, and said, "If I put my leg on top of that Bible and pray, will God heal it?" And I said, "No, that Bible, that's just a book. It's just binding. It's paper." And she got kind of upset. And she said, "Well, that's the Word of God." I said, "No. The Word of God is the subject matter inside those pages. Mm-hmm. And that the Word of God makes no difference in you unless it's gone into you and you believe it and you act on it. So just putting your leg on a Bible doesn't do anything. You have to know what that Bible says, believe on it, and as Ronnie's saying, be obedient and act on it, and then you experience the truth of God, and you know Jesus more intimately.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, just like Saul, you know, in the story, these people we're talking about, even in the church, people out there, we begin to reason our way through life, you know, and begin to think of things there. Another quick, I had this wrote down. There's this guy, he says the story here of an overweight colleague, and he said, decided it was time to shed some excess pounds. He took his new diet seriously. Said he, you know, even changing his driving route to avoid that favorite bakery, you know, changing. I mean, no, sometimes we got to change our route in life. There's things we got to change. But it said, and then one morning, however, he arrived at work carrying a gigantic coffee cake. And everybody's like, what? You know, man, he's doing so good. What happened, you know? And he never changed his expression. He's smiling, you know. And, you know, he said he drove by this, and I accidentally drove by this bakery. How many know you don't accidentally drive by that thing in life, do you, the bakery? Accidentally drove by this bakery, and there was this big coffee cake right there in the window. And he says, but there wasn't any parking space, you know. And I accidentally drove by the bakery, and there it was in the window, this host of all these goodies and things. I felt this was no accident, he said. So I prayed, Lord, if you want me to have one of those delicious coffee cakes, let me have a parking space right directly in front of it. How many know you ever done that?
Yeah.
Does it sound familiar with like Saul here? Lord, you know, if it's, oh, Lord Jesus, you know, this parking space right in front of him. And it says, sure enough, there it was. The eighth time around, there I parked right in front of it.
Circling around the city.
Eighth time around, boy, it was there. Think the Lord was in that one?
No.
All right, we're going to have to wrap up. Boy, I got so much more. I think God is really wanting to stir us up in the fact that, hey, you know what happened to Saul in that story? He ended up dying. I mean, he was not only him, but his sons. His whole.
He went mad.
He went mad and killed himself. He killed himself. He chased after David in all this. He went so mad, crazy in his own mind, that same mind that reasoned his way to God, that David could have killed him twice when he was chasing after David with all these armies to kill him because he knew he was going to be king. He had to go to the bathroom. And he went up in the cave. I guess that's where they went. And he went up in the cave and he walked in the cave. Lo and behold, there was David and a few of his soldiers right there in the cave. And David had the sword right on him. And at first he took his robe and sliced it. He wanted to run him through because he'd been chasing him all over the place with the army trying to kill him. But see, David, God said, I want a man. He told Samuel, I want a man after my heart. He knew David. David was the one. When Saul disobedient, okay, he moved. God can move on to the next one. Don't miss your opportunity this morning. Remember, God has a calling on your life. God has a plan. But it can turn out bad.
Yes.
It can turn out bad with your own choices in life. Some of y'all know there's some situations going on all around us and people we love dearly, good people, it's turned out bad for them. God don't change. His love never changes. His call is without repentance. He don't change his mind. We change our mind.
Yes.
So, encouraging word today as we close here. I want you to understand, don't let reason be a way of life. Don't think you got this on your own. Walk in obedience to God. Okay, we'll talk some more next week about it. You know, and not only are we affected in our sin,
yes,
our families are. Our lives is. Let me know that we've all made bad decisions, haven't we? And things happen, and families suffer, children suffer, parents, you know, I still am ashamed of the things that I did and hurt my parents and things that I should have done right and wrong. But see, we can't live in that past. We've got to push on. We've got to push into the future. And the way to walk in the blessings, that's what we're going to talk about next week, the blessings through obedience. And when we're obedient to God, we're in right standing to God, man, there isn't nothing better. There isn't nothing better. Amen?
Amen.
Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning I thank You for Your Word, and I thank You, God, for ears to hear. God, give us the ability to be faithful over the little things, God, be obedient to when You speak to us, when You speak through the Word, whether it's the preached Word or through reading the Word, God. We can say yes, and we'll be obedient children of God. Lord, that we can understand the whole concept of what it means to walk in those blessings. And God, I just pray right now that everyone here today leaves here with encouragement. And God, that the fact that they're here is not by any kind of just whim. Today they're here to hear the Word of God. Just be spoken to them that You've given us this Word in this time and season. Now, God, help us all to be obedient vessels. Now, with every head down, I want us to pray and ask God right now, each one, your individual. I would pray for anybody now that needs prayer, but I want you to just ask God, show me, Lord, some things in my life. He probably already has. He probably already has been doing that. There's like I said, there's no rhyme or reason why that this Word is here today for all of us, starting with me over the last couple. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Can you be honest today and ask God to show you that area of your life? And ask Him to create in you a pure heart. If you need prayer, I want you to come on up and I'll pray with you if you need it. But I mean, just want to be honest before the Lord right now and say, Lord, this area, I know You've been laying Your finger on it. Sin is sin. Help us, God, to do it. Be obedient. Thank You, Lord. Wait on You, Lord. It's not enough just to know Him. The Bible says the demons, the devils, all they know and they tremble. Lord, move our hearts to that place where we can fear You that way. But God, that we're not sorry that we get caught, but we fear that we'll disappoint You in a way.
Yes.
We'll disappoint it says to grieve not the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, we need You. We need You so much, God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Lord, now I release this congregation. I pray over them right now. I pray, Lord, through Your power, through Your might, that they leave here with a heart like David. They're going to be after You, Lord, with all that they have. That God, even their inabilities, God, is going to be empowered through You and who You are. And God, we thank You for this wonderful day. And God, we thank You, God, for all Your blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.